and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand ever, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. We want to try and concentrate a little time tonight on these words, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. But before we get to that, we need to pick up again a few of the strands in the preceding verses. Seems to me that the apostle, guided by the Holy Spirit, lays great emphasis on certain things in these verses. For example, now, in verse 10, he says we're to be strong in the Lord. Now, having said so, he begins to tell us how we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he shows us a provision made for us, and it's called the armor of God, the whole armor of God. Then he tells us not only to put on the armor. When you come to verse 13, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. First he says, now you'll have to put this on. Now if you're going to put it on, he says, you'll have to take it. Make sure you appropriate what has been provided. And after you appropriate it, make sure that you apply it to yourself. Now, he uses a word here, very interesting. It tells us why we will need all that armor. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, etc., etc. Now, if he had used the illustration of a warfare with two armies, one army opposed to the other, you might have considered yourself as just one of these foot soldiers in the army. But you would have known perfectly well that the war didn't depend on you. Although I had one fellow who had been an officer in the British Army. He said, you know, we fought the Germans and we defeated the Germans. He said, well, of course, we had a little help from these Americans that came over. He said, but he fought the war. He won it. You know what I mean? One of those pompous kind of officers. But I don't suppose any of you here would think that. If you were just one in the army, you would realize this, there was responsibilities resting on each one. And perhaps if you turned a little sick, you may go back to the sick bay and someone else would go forward and take your place. But that is not what's in view here. He says, we wrestle. Now, it doesn't require any stretch of the imagination to get the picture here. You see, when you're wrestling, it's a single combat. It's one-on-one. And while you and I may be able to encourage one another, we may be able to help one another when in difficulties, nevertheless, these words of exhortation and words of comfort are only what we may do to help one. When it comes to the actual combat, it's one on one. See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, if you think of the wrestling match, there's the two that's going into deadly combat. There's your enemy. Your enemy has certain tactics. And if you take your eye off the enemy for a moment when he's on the attack, you're finished. That's the reason he says here you've got to stand. Not only stand, but you've got to withstand. So therefore, if you're going to stand and you're going to withstand, remember now you're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Now, if you were wrestling another human being, you would be able to see that person who is your enemy. You would be able to watch him, watch every move, watch every tactic, and you'd be able to counter that. But brothers and sisters, we're in mortal combat, as it were, with an enemy we can't see. That makes it difficult, doesn't it? And the only way we're going to be able to stand and withstand is this. If we come to the Word of God and learn what the Scriptures tell us about the enemy and about his tactics, his wiles, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Not only is wrestling a single combat, one-on-one, it's a very close combat. It's strength against strength. That's the reason I suggest, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If you and I were to imagine for a moment that we could stand against the enemy in our own strength, I may remind you, you've lost before ever you start. Let him who thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. If we're going to be able to stand and withstand, then remember, it's only insofar as we're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So there's the source of your strength in the Lord. Now that's going to lead on to what we'll have to say about the armor. It's strength against strength then, and it's hand-to-hand combat. In that sense, we shall either resist manfully when the enemy launches his attack, or else, if we don't resist him manfully, we're going to fall shamefully. Now, I feel that most of us here tonight would like to be able to stand. We would want to say at the end of life, as Paul said, we have fought a good fight, that we've stood to the end. So therefore I suggest in this single combat with the enemy, in this close combat with the enemy, either we're going to stand and face the foe manfully. If we don't, we're going to fall shamefully. Now therefore he said, if you're going to stand and you're going to withstand in the evil day. Now that's a strange thing that he should bring that in here, in the evil day. You know, some days seem to be better for us than others. Some days you think you're on cloud nine. From the time you get up in the morning, every hour of the day, everything seems to go well. A word of encouragement in the morning, whether you get it direct from the Word or you get something from the calendar or somebody said a word to you. And all during the day, everything seemed to go fine. Then suddenly, the next day, everything seems to go wrong. You're on the mountaintop one day and you're down in the valley the next. But the days in which we live right now seem to me to be evil days. Evil is on the increase. Now, it's the evil day. That's the day that becomes the test. will we be able to stand and able to withstand in the evil day? We'll only be able to stand if we take to ourselves and put on the whole armor of God. If you don't put on that armor, you will not stand. And you will not withstand for Paul. So he comes down now and he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, I remind you what I said last week. I want you to take the picture of Paul in his prison cell. He's under the guard of a Roman soldier. No doubt when that Roman soldier came on duty, Paul would see him put on his armor. He would watch how he put it on, how he prepared himself to go on duty. Then he would see the other man going off duty and he would take off his armor and so on. And now Paul has taken this under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and he has adapted that to a spiritual teaching. Now he starts off then and he says, you're going to take this belt that you'll put on, this girdle you're going to put around you, and he said, having your loins girt about with truth. Now I wonder why he says the loins. It's very interesting to go through the scriptures and learn some of the things about the loins. Now suppose you take your Bible for a moment. Let us go back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. This was a very, very special day in the history of the nation and in the history of every individual who would make up that nation. It was the Passover. Verse 11, Exodus 12, verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So get the picture. The Passover night. It was a night of great dread in Egypt. The death angel was passing through the land. Death would enter every home in the land of Egypt. Every home. Death would fall either on the lamb or the firstborn. The children of Israel had been held in bondage, and the next morning they're going out to freedom. They're going to leave the land of bondage, and they're going over the Red Sea, and they're going on towards the promised land. The last night in Egypt. There's the lamb, the blood has been shed, the blood has been applied, the lamb has been roasted. They're going to feast now on the roast lamb. Now I don't need to tell you people tonight the significance of the roast lamb. I'm sure everyone knows that. However, there's one thing I might remind you about it, and that is he tells us how they were to take it. His head with his legs with the pertinence thereof. When you come to the New Testament, you remember about the Lamb. John points to him, as it were, and says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He wouldn't point to his feet there. He would point to his head. Because, you see, there was responsibility there. He shall take away the sin of the world. But now, the next day, he sees them, and they watch him as he walked. Now, he walks with his feet, with his legs. And he looked on him as he walked, and he simply says, behold the Lamb of God. Now, on that day, he did not say, which taketh away the sin of the world. The first time, he says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That would be his head. They looked on him as he walked, that would be his legs. That was the day that two of them left John and followed the Lord. When you come over to Peter's epistle, Peter says, we have been redeemed, not with such corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. There's the inwards. So you add those three things together from the New Testament and you swing them back here into Exodus 12 and you can see the significance of this. They're feasting on the roast lamb that speaks concerning Christ. But then how were they to do it? Their loins were girded. Now the suggestion is this. The girding of the loins seems to give the picture of preparation for action. They were prepared to go out in the morning. You see, there was no long flowing robe to keep them back. It would be tucked up. The belt would be put round. We'll not turn to it now, but I'll remind you of another scripture that will force this in upon our thinking. The night that Peter was in prison, as recorded in Acts 12, when the angel came and smote him, get up, Peter. Gird up your loins. You're going out. Peter had to get up and gird his loins. You see, it's like preparation for action. But then, here they were going out in the morning. They're getting prepared for a move. Now when we come over to our scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, the first thing we've got to do is gird up the loins. And notice what he says, you have to gird up the loins with truth, having your loins girt about with truth. But now there's something else about the loins. If you were to go back and study Hebrews chapter 7, it's very interesting there on the priesthood. And reference is made there to the fact that Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek. How could Levi pay tithes to Melchizedek? Melchizedek is found away back in Genesis 14. Yeah, Levi wasn't even born. Jacob wasn't even born. And Levi is the son of Jacob. And then the tribe of Levi develops from Levi himself. But he paid tithes, how? In the loins of Abraham. You see, the loins then speak of the seat of reproduction. In the loins of Abraham, there were all the children that would develop from him. And so the loins speak of that part that speaks of reproduction. Gird up your loins then, having your loins girt about with truth. What are we going to reproduce in our Christian life? If we're going to reproduce anything that will be for God's glory, it will have to be inside the circle of truth. Gird up the loins with truth. A strange thing, Peter has something to say about this if you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, having your loins girt about with truth. You see, as I suggested, there's the thought of being prepared for energetic action. Not only so, do you remember when the Lord was in the upper room and he was going to wash the feet of the disciples? He laid aside his outer garment and he took the towel that belonged to the servant, for that it was there and it was ready for the servant to use. But none of them would take the servant's place, but he did. And he took the towel and girded himself with the towel. He was preparing for service. So he was girded with the towel. Now then, says Peter, I want you to gird up the loins of your mind. Now, if the devil is going to get us down today, he's going to meet his attack on the mind. That's the avenue by which he gets at it. Or it may be through eye gate, it may be through ear gate, but the idea is of getting to the mind. The Roman Catholic Church used to declare that if they got the child for the first 7 years, you could do what you like after. With the child for the first 7 years. Perhaps they had an argument. That's why I think there's a great importance upon the teaching of the children in the Sunday school classes. If a Sunday school teacher does nothing else but simply take the Word of God and plant the Word of God in that young mind like a seed planted into fertile ground, it'll produce something. Now, says Peter, I want you to gird up the loins of your mind. Have them protected with truth. You see, if they're protected with truth, if our thoughts are protected with truth, that truth will be able to fight off the evil. It's an evil day. And as the devil seeks to put in his evil thoughts, and if truth is already there to guard us, we'll win the day. The loins of the mind. But he says, gird up your mind. And here it stands there for having your loins girt about with truth. Now, if we're living in an evil day, there's a lot of evil things that are being propagated. You only need to lift your newspaper and read some of the things there. Or some of the trash that comes in with the mail. Or some of the trash, perhaps, that comes over the airwaves. What we need today is truth. Truth. When the Lord Jesus was standing before Pilate, you remember Pilate said, what is truth? And that question perhaps would be asked you today by other folks if you just went and said, oh, what is truth? What is truth? Now, I can assure you this, a lot of the stuff you've been listening to, if you have been listening or reading, the past 2 weeks certainly was not truth. These men have been scurrilous. The things they've been saying about one another. I don't know how they're going to forgive one another. Because in a few weeks they'll be clasping hands together and singing for Auld Lang Syne or something. And he's a jolly good fellow and we're all one together or something like this. And we're all in unity. They're not in unity. You know that. The things they've said about one another. However, what is truth? And you know the answer to that. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If I'm going to be girded about with truth, putting on the armor of God, here's where it starts. The first thing is truth. The girdle of truth. Having your loins girded with truth, having the loins of your mind girded up with truth. And the only way I suggest you do that, first of all, you're going to learn the truth. You're putting on Christ here, aren't you? How can I put on Christ? Everything I learn about him, I'll have to learn it from the Word. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then he speaks about the Spirit in John 16, and he says when he has come, he's the Spirit of truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Then in John 17, he says, thy word is truth. So you see, what we have in the written word, telling us about the living word, the living word is truth. Christ is truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And the written word is the word of truth. You see then, if we're going to read in the written word, under the guidance of the Spirit of truth, it shall lead us to Christ, who is the truth. And having these things, you put them on. You get on that girdle of truth. Now then, He also speaks of our sanctification in chapter 17 of John, and we are sanctified by that word. That word is truth. I remind you again in John chapter 4. It says the day would come that when they that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth, not according to truth. You see how important a matter it is then to know the truth. We'll finish tonight, if time's gone, by just saying this. You remember reading concerning the temptation in the wilderness when the devil came close combat, hand-to-hand combat with the Lord Jesus Christ. He made at least three thrusts at him, three of his tactics to get the Lord down. And each time the Lord was ready, he stood and withstood, and he kept standing. How did he defeat him? With the word. With the word. Man shall not live by bread alone. Second thrust, cast yourself down. He says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Third thrust, he says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Each time he quoted from the book of Deuteronomy, each time the devil came into combat with him, the Lord resisted him with the word. Now resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I know some men, if you resist them, they'll flee at you. But resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But how do you resist him? With the word. You see how important a matter it is then, if we're going to stand, and we're going to withstand, in the evil day, we've got to start with a girdle. Perhaps our brother Lacey Buffalo will lead us in prayer and give thanks to God for the refreshment. Will you, Lacey?